All right, so we'll say good morning. Today's daf, good morning. Today's daf is Chaf Hey Amud Aleph. So we'll say, so as you know, throughout the entirety of Chol HaMoed, we've been zochet to have a beautiful breakfast every morning. In the zuchus of the Yom Tov of Sukkis, but also in the merit of Sayyid's father. So it happens to be Sayyid told me that today is the Shloshim for his father, Zichron Livracha, for Moshe ben Bashi HaKohen. And I think it's an incredible zuchus for us. You know, when Sayyid was sitting Shiva and he told me a little bit about his father, the industrious nature of his father, the incredible, almost like curious curiosity to understand things, to explore things, whether it's, you'll ask Sayyid about this story, but making jeans in Shiraz and calling them Levi's, or going ahead and writing entire reams of volumes on different letters of the Aleph Beis. So clearly, again, so Moshe ben Bashi HaKohen was an individual who was a mevakish, was an individual who clearly, again, was not satisfied with the status quo, but always had an incredible desire to do more and to be more. And the truth is, it's a big zuchus for us to be able to commemorate his yahrzeit in the sukkah, because part of the message of sukkah, yeah, I'm giving the vart this week on the front end, but part of the message of sukkah is to learn to be a mevakish, is to learn to be a seeker. Because, you know, the halacha is that when it comes to schach, you have to be able, yes, the halacha is that it has to be chamasa merubah mitzilasa, silasa merubah mechamasa. So you have to have more shade than sun, but you also have to be able to see the stars. You have to be able to see shamayim. If you can't see the heavens from your schach, then according to many poskim, that schach is not kosher. And the message, of course, is understood that a Jew, has to live in this world, and a Jew has to create for himself a structure and a framework, but a Jew always has to be able to see the stars. A Jew always has to be able to see what's above him. A Jew always has to be able to see mala, always has to be able to see into Shamayim, because a Jew always has to have aspirations, not just to simply live down here, but ultimately, again, to ascend mala. And from what Sayyid told me about his father, Zichron Livracha, Moshe ben Bashi HaKohen, this seems to be a very fitting tribute to his personality, a man who was always a mevakish, a man who was always seeking mala. And the truth is, that's the zuchus we have on this Yom Tov of Chol HaMoed, this Yom Tov of Sukkis, to be able to commemorate his neshama. And in his zuchus, Rabbosai, we should learn the same yisod. I'm not saying we should go, open up a gene making apparatus in our backyard like he did, but lemais, again, to take that attribute of going mala, to know that even though we live in the sukkah, and we always have to live with roofs on top of our heads, we always have to live within a structure, to always be able to see the stars, to always be able to see the shamayim, to always be able to think and to dream mala, to always be able to think and to dream higher and higher, to set our goals higher, to set our sights higher, and halavai to accomplish incredible things in the days, the weeks, and the months going forward. And in that zuchus, and in the zuchus of our limud today, and in the zuchus of all of our brachos, may Moshe ben Bashi HaKohen, may his neshama endure, and a beautiful aliyah, may have a lichtige gan Eden, a beautiful and ongoing and enduring gan Eden. May his family and Mirat Hashem be blessed with a nechama in the days, weeks, and months ahead. Amen. So let's begin now with the Mishnah. So the Mishnah on Daf Chaf Dalud Amud Beis 24b. So the Mishnah said the Elu Chayav LaHacher. So let's remember again, we started out the Perek, by speaking about the things that you are not obligated to go ahead and announce because you are permitted to keep them. Now begin with a list of things that if you find them, you are obligated to announce them because they have some type of distinctive mark. So the Gemara says, "Ve'elu chayv la'achres, matzah peros pekli," if you found peros, if you found fruits in a utensil, O kli kamoshu, or Rabbo say, for that matter, you just found the kli. The assumption is, Rashi points this out, stam kelim, stam kli yesh bo simen. And Rabbo say, this is talking about the age before mass-produced items. So before mass production, even though, again, you might have gone to the market to purchase a utensil, the pashtos, every single utensil looks different. So every kli, Rashi says, a stam kli has a simen. So if you find peros in a kli, or for that matter, you find the kli itself, you have to announce it, mos bekis o kis kimos, if you find money in a pouch, or you find the pouch by itself, the halacha is you have to go ahead and announce it. Because again, same idea, the pouch is a keli, and the assumption is that every kli has a simen. Tzibori peros, tzibori mos, if you find piles of fruit, or piles of money. Maybe we should be zochem here, Tzashem. A tap of chafei medalif, or shlosha matbeos ze al gav ze, or Rabbi say you find three coins piled on top of each other. And I will discuss the exact parameters of this case. Or krichos birshos hayachid, or Rabbi say you go ahead and you find. Remember, krichos are small sheaves in Rishos HaYachid. So we'll say, just by the way, a word about Rishos HaYachid. If you remember, so somebody actually raised it the other day, and I realized that I didn't properly explain this before. You're thinking to yourself, what does this mean I'm finding? Can you imagine, right? I go into Reuven's yard, and I say, oh, Reuven, I found krichos in your Rishos. And Reuven says, shkoyach, it's mine, right? I mean, again, we'll say, I go into your house, and I say, oh, you're not going to believe it. I found a silver Kiddush cup. Right? It happened to be in your break front, right, which is in your dining room. But so say, obviously, when we talk about finding things in Rishos HaYochid, what we mean over here, when we call these things Rishos HaYochid, what we mean are areas that are accessible to the public, but are not traversed by the public. That's really when we speak about Rishos HaYochid, what we mean over here. So it's not really a private domain. I'm not going into someone's home, but rather, again, there are areas that are technically publicly accessible, but not really used by the public. There's no volume. How about pedestrian traffic? So what happens? So I go ahead and I find krichos Rishos HaYochid, or kikar shabal habayis, or I will say, for that matter, I find loaves belonging to the Baal HaBayis. Remember again, what's kikar shabal habayis? These are home-baked loaves, as opposed to baker-baked loaves, where all of the loaves look the same. When people bake challahs, people bake bread in their own home, those loaves always look different from one another. Therefore, they have a distinctive simen. Similarly again, if I find wool that comes from the uman, from the craftsman. So we'll say the assumption is that once the craftsman goes ahead and makes the wool, so lemaise again, that's some type of distinctive simen. So kade yain v'kade shemen, hare elu chay lahakra. Similarly, again, if you find barrels of wine or barrels of oil, you are obligated to announce the find. Because again, Rabbi said they have a simen. Now remember, we learned this sugya already. What's the simen when it comes to barrels of wine or barrels of oil? The seal. Right? The seal. Remember again, there was an earthenware seal that was often put around the barrel. That in and of itself is the simen. Good. Says the Gemara, time of the month, Peros Bekli, Umaos Bekis. So we'll say, if you remember again, so the first case of the Mishnah was, I find a utensil with Peros in it, or I find a pouch with money in it. I'm obligated to announce the find. Because the act of finding, or the event of finding money with a pouch with money in it, or the kli with the kalim with peros in it, is in and of itself a significant find. But listen to this: hakli ulafan of peros, kis ulafan of maos hare elu shelo. And I both say what we can infer from here is what, that if you were to find a kli, if you were to find a kli of a utensil, and the fruit were not in it, but rather, again, the fruit were in front of it, or for that matter, you were to find a pouch, and the money is not in it, instead the money is in front of it, what would be the halacha? Hare elu shalo. Apparently, Rabbi will say, now again, I couldn't keep the kiss, and I couldn't keep the kli. Why? Why? Because those are assumed to have a simon, but I could keep the money, and I could keep the fruit. Rabbi will say, now this is actually a very novel idea. What the Gemara seems to be inferring over here is that the only reason I'm obligated to go ahead and be machres and to announce the kiss, excuse me, the reason I'm obligated to announce the peros and the mos, the fruit and the money, is why? Because they're inside of the kli, or they're inside of the kiss. What I can infer from that is, if I found, imagine this case, I find the kli, and the peros are in front of the kli, not in the kli, what's the halacha? I'm permitted to go ahead and keep the peros. Now, what's the novelty in that?
It could have fallen out.
Oh, correct. David, when you say it, it sounds so good, right? Right? Good. Right? So, again, so the idea over here is only Mr. Ringo could top that. You know, it is, right? So, again, because even though I could say that Lamaisa what? I could say that Lamaisa, again, that fruit must have fallen out from the kli. Nevertheless, what? Nevertheless, we don't say that. We don't say that. And halacha l'maisa, again, you'd be permitted to go ahead and keep the peros. So the Gemara says, so tanina l'ha de tan rabban. So we have a brisa that supports this. Matza kli ulafan of peros. If I find the kli, and there are peros in front of it, kis ulafan of maos, or I find the pouch, and there is money in front of it. Hare ilu shalar bosa, I'm permitted to keep the fruit, I'm permitted to keep the money. Right? Since the fruit is not in the utensil, since the money is not in the pouch, so the money and the fruit have no simanim. Therefore, I'm permitted to keep them. Of course, the kiss and the kli do have an inheritance, and I therefore am obligated to announce them. So, listen to this case. If I find the kli, and there's some fruit in the kli, some fruit outside of the kli, or I find the pouch, there's some money inside the kiss, some money outside of the kiss, then I have to announce not only the kiss and the kli, but what? The ma'os and the peros as well. The logic being what? That since some of it still remains inside the utensil, whether it's money or peros, that indicates to us that it all came from the same point of origin, i.e. from the same kiss or from the same kli. Yet the Gemara says, Raminu, but I'll ask a kash on that. Maza davar shei mosim and sad davar shei yishbo simin. If you find something that doesn't have a simin, by the side of something that does have a simin, chayiv lahachris. You're obligated to announce, Rabosai, the object with the simin. You're obligated to announce the object with the simin. Rabosai, now what this sounds like over here is what? I find money by a pouch. Now in this case, if you remember, sounds like over here the money's not in the pouch, right? I'm finding the money next to the pouch. I'm chayiv to be machriz the pouch. And what happens? So ba bal simin v'natala shalom. So I'll say, if the bal simin nebo, so let's say the owner of the pouch shows up, and the owner of the pouch says, that's my pouch, but I don't own the money, right? I don't own the money. The money's not mine. Then what? Then the owner of the pouch takes his pouch, but zacha halab b'davar shein bo simin. And I will say, the finder has the right to keep the money, or has the right to keep the fruit. So I'll say, so what do you see from here? You see from here that lamaisa, again, you are obligated to go ahead and announce the fruit or announce the money, even though what? Even though they're not found in the pouch, but they're found next to the pouch. So we have a stira. So we'll say, the braisa we just said before is that lamaisa, if I go ahead and I stumble upon it, we'll say, I'm not going to keep saying both cases, but you understand they're both in the same category. Whether it's fruit in front of the kli or it's money in front of the pouch, let's just go with the fruit. So the first braisa told me that if I find the kli and in front of it is fruit, so I'm only obligated to announce the kli, but I can keep the fruit. Yet the braisa just said what? That when I find the kli and in front of it is fruit, I'm obligated to announce both. Now, if the bala kli comes along and says, hey, that's my kli, but it's not my fruit, then ein achinami, I, the finder, am permitted to keep the fruit, but it's clear that what? I have to announce both. So it's a contradiction. So we're going to have a number of ways of reconciling the contradiction. Amar Zvid, lo kashya. So as this said, it's not a contradiction. Kan bekuba vekisna ha bitsano piri. It depends on both side what. So when we say, When do we say that lamaisa again? If you find the items in front of the kli and not in the back and not inside of it, that you could keep the items outside of it. That's what we'll say in a case of a barrel with flax. So we'll say kuva v'kisna. Rashi says is gigis mutalas upishnan lefanal devada hai pishnala mikuva nafal. We'll say, so this is like this. In a case of flax, that we'll say if that flax came from the utensil, then what would have happened? There would have been some flax left in the utensil because it's impossible for the flax to fully come out of the utensil. So therefore, if you have a case where the flax is sitting in front of the utensil and there's no flax inside the kli, that's clear that what? The flax did not come from the kli. Therefore, I'm obligated to announce the find of the kli, but I'm permitted to keep the flax. On the other hand, the case of Bosei, where you have to announce both, is the case of tsanoperi, fruit. It is possible that the fruit was in the basket, and what happened? It all rolled out. And it's possible that all of the fruit came out of the basket, but lemaisa, again, the fruit was originally in the basket. That's the case where you have to announce everything. That's Rav Zavid's reconciliation. Rav Papa Amar Haba Haba tsanoperi. Rav Papa says, no, both kings said to have fruit in the basket. V'lo kasha, hadi ishtayer bamidi. Both say, Papa says like this, if there's no fruit left in the basket, even though the fruit is sitting in front of the basket, there's no circumstantial evidence to point me in the direction that what? That fruit was part of the basket. Therefore, I'm obligated to announce the basket, but I am permitted to keep the fruit for myself. If let's say I have 15 apples, 14 of them are sitting outside of the basket, one of them is sitting inside the basket, now what? I have circumstantial evidence that the fruit originated in the basket itself. Therefore, I'd be obligated to announce not just the basket, but the fruit. The other possibility is, there was nothing left in the basket. Velo kashya. So listen to this. This is like forensic Baba Metzia. So like, what does it depend on? What's the position of the basket vis-a-vis the fruit? So if the mouth of the basket is by the fruit, so that's indicative, that's right. Again, so we could put two and two together, and we could see there's a pile of fruit sitting right opposite the mouth of the basket. Again, the fruit didn't get here from nowhere. It's not man min hashamayim, so it came from somewhere. It must have come from the fruit. Therefore, I have to announce the fruit and the basket. Masha'in came. If the back of the basket is opposite the fruit, then what? Then I don't have to assume that the fruit came from the basket. And Lamais again, I could keep the fruit and announce the basket. So the Gemara says, Vibai, so another possibility is, Havahad, the Mahadri, Ape, the Gabi, Peri. Both of the other possibility is, that's what both cases are talking about, where the opening of the basket is facing the fruit. Velokashia, Had the Isle Ugnin Litsina, Had the Isle Ugnin Litsina. Oh, Rabosa, listen to this. What's the Chilik? The Chilik is, does the basket have a rim? Now, both sides, very often, the baskets in Talmudic times, I don't know if rim is the right word, but not an external rim, an internal. So we'll say, you see, like this is an external rim. So imagine for a moment again, you have the rim, a lip. Thank you, not a rim, a lip. So imagine for a moment you had a lip on the inside. So we'll say, listen to this. If the basket had a lip, so lemaisa again, if the fruit originated in the basket, then what? There should have been at least one fruit that remained inside because it got caught on the lip. If there are no fruit inside the basket, that indicates to us what? That the fruit didn't come from the basket. Masha'in kein, if it is a basket without a lip, then lemaisa again, even if all of the fruit are on the outside of the basket, it's possible that what? That all of the fruit began on the outside, in the inside, excuse me, but because there is no lip, therefore, again, there was nothing to catch the fruit, and therefore you'd have to go ahead and announce the find of the basket, as well as the fruit itself. So, both sides, what comes out for our purposes is like this, is that if you have a situation where circumstantially it is possible that the fruit, now let's go back for a second. If you find a basket and there's some fruit inside of it and there's some fruit outside of it, or you find a kiss and there's some money in front of it, then again it's clear that you have to announce the object as well as the money/fruit. But really what the halacha is telling us is the following, that if we look at the circumstance and the metzias is such that it's plausible that that fruit or that money began inside of the kli or inside of the kiss, then einachinami, you'd have to announce both items. If it's plausible that the money or the fruit was never inside it, then halacha lemaaseh, again, you wouldn't have to announce the fruit or the money, you would just have to announce the kli itself. Weiter. Siburi maos with siburi peres siburi maos. What was the next case? The next case was a person goes ahead and finds a pile of fruit or a pile of money. So shamas mina mingin havi simin. Rabbi say, what do you see from here? You see from here that number is a proper simin. To which the Gemara says, no. Tani tzabar peros. Reason why the Gemara is making that inference is because it used the lashon of piles, plural. So you see from here that number ultimately is. A simin, to which the Gemara says, no. Tani, read the Mishnah to say tzabur peros. It wasn't supposed to be tzibure piles. Rather, it was supposed to be tzabur pile, singular. So therefore, it's not a raya that minyan is a simin. Shamas mina makom havi simin. So you see from here that what? Okay, fine. So you can't have a diuk that minyan is a simin. You could at least have a diuk that what? That makom, that place is a simin. To which the Gemara says, Tani Tziburi Peros. No, read the Mishnah saying piles. And therefore, so I'll say in other words, what the Gemara is saying is there are different girsos. And the point is, you can't bring a raya from this Mishnah to Minyan or to Makom. Now, the truth is, that doesn't matter to us. Why? Because we've already established that both Minyan and Makom are proper simonim. Good. Next. Shlosha Matbeos Za'agav Zeh. It will say, if you find three coins, one on top of the other. that lemaise again is a proper simin. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak migad lo v'hu sha'asuyin kemigdalin. Rabbi say when we say that you find three coins one on top of the other, that's only if they were placed on there like a tower, like a migdal. Rabbi say now we will see what this actually means. By the way, it's not just simply piled, but rather again what we'll see is that you have three coins wider, thinner, and thinner. So that literally, again, it's like a migdal. It's not three of the same coin, but three different coins with the widest one on the bottom, and each one on top of it a smaller coin. So the Gemara says, Tanya, that supports this. If you find scattered money, you're permitted to keep it. So the Gemara says, but if you find them arranged like what? Like a tower, then the mice again, you're obligated to go ahead and announce them. The Elohim Asun Kemigdalin. What does it mean that it's made like a migdal? Shlosha matboin ze'agavze. Three coins, one on top of the other. So hagufa kasha. But they have an inherent contradiction. What's the contradiction? So Amrit. First wide line. On one end, you just said that if you find scattered money, it belongs to the finder. Ha mishalchafei shluchufei chayv lahachris. Rabbi say what we can infer from that is what? That if you find them a little bit, one on top of that, Rabbi say Rashi points out, mishalchafei shluchufei means miktsas zu al chaverta u miktsas al gav karka. Rabbi say if you were to find a coin where, let's say, part of it was resting on another coin, and part of it was resting on the ground, you would be chayif to announce that find. So we'll say, from the Bryce, it sounds like the only time you could say that money is totally hefker, is ownerless, you could keep it as when, is mamish when it's scattered. But if there's some semblance of a cohesive arrangement, like one coin is sitting a little bit on top of the other, you're chayif to imachris, yet ema seifa, yeah, look at the seifa, we'll say, second wide line, asun ki migdalin, if the coins were made like a migdal, like a tower, chayav lahachris, that's when you have to announce it. Ha mishalchafi shalchufi, hari ilu shalom. But Rabbi say, if you just arranged a little bit one on top of the other, you'd be permitted to keep it. So how do we reconcile this? Tana, kol shen asuyin ki migdalin, mifuzaris karlu. The way you have to read is the following. Rabbi say, any time that the coins are not arranged like a migdal, like an active tower, then they're considered to be mifuzaros, and the finder is permitted to go ahead and keep it. So both say, what the Gemara is saying is the following. Unless the money is arranged in a way that clearly beyond the shadow of a doubt indicates to us that what? Somebody placed it there, it is considered to be mifuzaro, scattered money, and the finder is permitted to keep it. And apparently, the only arrangement so far that to us looks like an intentional arrangement is what? Kimigdal. Kimigdal, like a tower. Like a tower, so when we say that the three coins are piled on top of another, that's only if it's three coins belonging to three different kings. Rabbi said, now what's the chap with three coins for three different kings? Remember, kings would mint their own coins, which means three dissimilar coins. Rabbi says, if you have three coins belonging to the same king, apparently even if they're piled one on top of the other, you're permitted to keep it and you don't have to announce the fine. So, hey, idami, so what's the case? So Rabbi says, if you want to say that lamaisa again, it's piled like a tower, then again, even if it belongs to one king, right? You should, if it's arranged like a tower, even if it's three of the same coin, that's an intentional placement. So why would you not be chayiv to announce that find? And if it's not made like a tower, then lamaisa again, if it's not made like a migdal, then even if it's three different coins from three different kings, it's mifuzarin, and you should be permitted to keep it. Ela iit ma'ehach itna. Rather, Rabbi say, here's how you have to frame the halacha. Lo shanu ela shal melech echad, ke'ein shlosha melachim. Rabbi say, we only learned, that's what? Even if it's three coins from the same king, so you're only obligated to return it if you find it like three different kings. Rabbi say, now what does that mean? look at Rashi. Shamelach echad kein shlosh melachim. Kilomar afilu hein shamelach echad shetzuras shloshtan shava vehein kein shlosh melachim shechalukin berachvan the dome legimo matveos. So we'll say, listen to this. When do we say that if the coins are piled one on top of the other, that's a valid simon? So even if they're three coins from the same king, but they're arranged like three different coins from three different kings. Vehechi dummy, what's the case? Daesuin kemigdolim. We'll say that it's made like a tower. What does that mean? Revicha tasa, the widest coin is on the bottom. Umetzia iluya, then the second widest coin is on top of that. Vizuta iluya, and the smallest coin is on top. So the Gemara says, Vizitu varshte vizitu iluya mitzia. Daminon, Anuche anchinhu. Because we'll say that is clear that what? That this was an intentional placement. Aval shamelach echad. If again all of the three coins are like from the same king, in other words, which is another way of saying all coins are the same size, then what? Then afa gav the manchi adadi, even though they're piled on top of the other, hari elu shalo, the final is permitted to keep it. Why? Eimar isramuye israme ubehade hadadi nafo. Because we'll say it's possible that what? They just all fell one on top of the other. So we'll say, so again, and this the Gemara is saying halacha lemaisa. The Gemara is saying that again, so intentional placement is not enough. It's got to be intentional placement with coins of varying sizes. So if you have intentional, so we'll say, if you have a tower, but it's all exactly the same coin, so the finder is permitted to keep that. Why? Why? Because Rabbi Sain, that is not 1,000% indicative of an intentional placement. Because since they're all the same size, it's possible that what? They fell down, and they piled one on top of the other. The only time you could say, beyond the shadow of a doubt, that the placement of money was an intentional placement was how? Is if you have at least three coins of varying sizes, with the largest on the bottom and going in, what's the right term? From largest to smallest. That is indicative of intentional placement, and that's going to be the case of where if you find the money, you're chayiv to be machriz. So the Gemara says, itmar, I'm sorry, Rabbi Yochanan says, no, afilu shel melech echad, nami machriz. Rabbi Yochanan says, no, if you find a pile of coins, Rabbi Yochanan says, even if they are shel melech echad, Rabbi say, melech echad, remember, means, Rashi says, "Afilu shal melech echad machriz hoil umatbeos havuzu agabezu yesh kan simen dolar." It's from the Rafakar. Rabbi Yochanan disagrees with the previous shita, and Rabbi Yochanan says, "I don't need it to be three different coins of varying sizes for it to be a simen. If you have a pile of coins, that by definition is indicative of intentional placement. And even if the three coins are exactly the same, if they are piled in a neat pile, that's lemaisa indicative of kavana dika placement, and therefore you have to be machriz that. So the Gemara says, my machriz. So what do you announce in these kind of situations? Minyan. So we'll say you announce the number of coins you found. So my area tlas, afilu train. I mean, if that's the case that you're announcing minyan, then why does the Bryce only set up his case as three coins? You'd have to announce two coins as well. Ravina tiva machriz. Ravina says, no, that lamaisa, again, you go ahead and you announce what? You announce that you found coins. You don't announce number, you don't announce anything, you just say, I found money, I found coins, and then they have to give a simon. So both say, just you should know. So fundamental machlokes in Rabbi Yochanan, and what we'll call the previous shita, the Tanakama and others. So the mice again, everyone agrees, Rabbi Yochanan, that if you find three coins of three different sizes, arranged from largest to smallest, everyone agrees that what? That is indicative of intentional placement, and therefore, Aloha Lamaisa, you have to be machriz that. The machlokes is in the case if I have three of the same coin, but it's clear that they were piled kemigdol. Rabbi Yochanan says you have to be machriz. The other shitos say you do not. That is the machlokes. Rabbi Yochanan says, so how do we paskin? Shulchan Aruch paskins that whenever it looks like there was clear kavana dika placement, even if it's three of the same coin, you're obligated to be machriz, which makes sense. Once there's any indication that lemaisa, again, that somebody intentionally placed this money there, yati machriz. And also going back to yesterday's sugya, you know, again, in general, we always try to go ahead and conduct ourselves lifnim mishuras hadin. So certainly, lifnim mishuras hadin would also tell us that whenever there's even a havamina, that somebody placed this intentionally, one should try to go ahead and mekayim the mitzvah of hashavas habeit. Let's go weiter. Says the Gemara, my last few lines, Bayrab Yemiya, Kishir Maun. Now the Gemara is going to ask, remember, the Mishnah spoke about a case ultimately of intentional placement. And the Gemara's case of intentional placement was kemigdal, like a tower. Now the Gemara is going to ask about other other formations. So what happens if Lamaise again the money was arranged kashir? I will say shir means like a circle, like a bracelet. Or kishura in a straight line. Or kichatsuva. I will say chatsuva means like a tripod. You can even see Rashi has triangle. Rashi has over here a picture. Right? Kichatsuva, kisulam, like a ladder. I will say now the ladder case is, remember again, the ladder is where, if you can imagine, you have one coin. You place another coin on top of it. Let's say, so half of the upper coin is on top of the lower coin. So really, they call it ladder, but the better image would be a staircase. You arrange it like a staircase, right? So, kisula mahu. So, pashut mehachad. So, we'll say, we could at least go ahead and answer one of these questions. So, the Gemara says, the Amrav Nachman, Amrav Baravua, kol shilu machnis lakise meneyem en otlom basachos, chay lachabos. This is actually an interesting halacha. Anytime you could insert a toothpick in there and pick up all the coins at once, that's indicative of intentional placement, and you have to announce it. So both sides, that takes care of the sulam, of the ladder case. Because if you think about it, right, if you were to go ahead and have a bunch of coins arranged like a staircase, if you were to stick a toothpick underneath the lowest one and have a very steady hand, you could pick up all of the coins with that. So that, okay, at least we know that that's what you have to announce. So by Rav Ashi asked the following kasha, Amadeis, Kavne base kulius mau. We'll say, what happens if the coins are arranged like avne base kulius? So we'll say, what is avne base kulius? Rashi says over here, Markulis. We'll say, this is an avodah zarah called Markulis, right? Markulis was an avodah zarah, ultimately, again, of stones. Or actually, one of the ways you used to worship the avodah zarah was to throw stones at the avodah zarah. So what happens if the coins were arranged like Markulis? So now, Tashma, the Sanya Matzamas, Bufuzar, Sarah, Elu Shalom, Kav Nebes, Koyos, Chayv, Lahachriz. Also, it's a Mefurshah Braisa. The Braisa says, if you find scattered money, you could keep it. But if you find money that's arranged like Markulis, you're Chayv, Timachriz. Ve'elohein, Abel says, so what is Markulis? Meaning, what's the arrangement? Ve'elohein, Av Nebes, Koyos, Achas, Mikan, Va'achas, Mikan, Va'achas, Al Gabehen. So I'll say, okay, so what's the formation? One, two, and then the top one straddling the lower two. So if you find coins, so we'll say, again, the logic over here being is anytime you see what? Right? So anytime you see a premeditated arrangement, anytime you see a kavanadik arrangement, that there was intent for someone to place down money like this, so that indicates to you that Lamaisa, again, this was an intentional placement, and therefore you have to machlis. I'm sorry? Oh, so one second. So good. So this, remember, is built on yesterday's conversation. So yesterday's conversation says, remember, if I'm living in a place that has a Rov Yisrael, majority Jewish population, you're correct. If I'm living in a place where the majority of people are Gentiles, then again, I don't have to announce any of this, and the Maase, I can keep it. You're right. Absolutely.
Range like an avodah zarah. It's not an avodah zarah.
Correct. Range like no. But Alan's saying. But even who's going to be arranging stuff like this? Yeah. So Alan's suggesting. Why don't you assume it's a guy? So the answer is because again, remember we look at the rove of the population.
It's not the only time they use that.
Right. Correct. Remember also. Also, I just want to point out this arrangement is not like some type of esoteric arrangement. This is two coins with one on top. You know, people arrange stuff like this all of the time. So Lamaisa, again, it's not like if you were to come up with an irregular arrangement that would only be done, you know, by avodah zarah, then that's a stronger kasha. But this is a pretty regular arrangement of stuff. I don't know what the name of the formation is. What do you call that type? Is there a name for this?
Pyramid.
A what? Pyramid. A pyramid type of formation. Good.
If there's such an arrangement, isn't it clear that the guy actually is going to pick it up? So you shouldn't announce it. Just leave it.
No. Because remember, this is in Rosh Sarabim. Rosh Sarabim, so it's considered to be an aveda. Anytime you leave something in Rosh Sarabim, Lamaisa, again, it's an aveda, especially money. We'll discuss there are other cases where if you see stuff, you should leave it alone. But Lamaisa, money is an aveda in Rosh Sarabim. So the Gemara goes weiter. The Gemara says the following. Listen to this. I find money in the shuk. I find money in the shuk. And then my friend comes along and says, Umatzal chavero, va'amar lo shalihu, chadoshehi, nironishi, shamalech plonihi. So we'll say, let's say I find money in the shuk. Now we'll say, remember again, this is a simple case. I'm walking in the shuk. I find one gold coin in the shuk. What's the halacha? Well, so this is the easiest part of the Talmud. See what's the halacha? It's yours. It's yours, right? One coin, no formations of this. It's my money. My friend comes along and says, oh, by the way, that's my coin. And I can identify it, right? It's a Nironius, it's this type of coin, or it's a brand new coin, or it's the coin of a particular melech. Lo amar klum. Such a statement is meaningless. Well, because remember again, remember, just because he's identifying the money doesn't mean it's his. Because we'll say again, remember, there are plenty of coins that are neuronious. There are plenty of coins that are what? That are chadasha, and therefore it's not a good simon. We'll say, watch this. Velo old. Ela afilu shmo kasav aler. Well, it's actually an amazing case. Let's say again, Reuven finds $100, or I find $100 bill, and Reuven comes, he says, I lost my money. I say to him, I'm sorry, there's no simon for money in Surab. He says, it says Reuven on the bill. So I open up, and sure enough, it says Reuven on the $100 bill. So both said, it's amazing. The halacha is, I don't have to give it back to him. I don't have to give it back to him. What? Lo amar klum. Why? The fish, I get choked up with these gemaras. The fish ain't simon. Because I will say there is no simon for money. Why? But it says Reuven's name on it. The only thing this proves to me is what? It once was his money. What it could be also is maybe he bought his Esrog with that money and the Esrog salesman lost it. Right? Or maybe he went to a market and the cashier lost it. I mean, hopefully the cashier doesn't have his $100 bill, but right, whatever. You know, so again, Lemaisa, at the end of the day, all it proves is that it was once his money. It in no way proves that Lemaisa, again, is it. So we'll say, this is really important because essentially what the Gemara is saying is, when you lose money in Rosh Hashanah, you're done. You're done. The Rebbe saying, I want to be clear. If you lose a wad of bills, that wad is a simon. You lose your wallet's a simon. Right? You go ahead and you place down coins in a particular formation. That formation is a simon. But Lamaisa, you lose a coin or you lose a bill, even if your name is on it. Even if, by the way, here's the chat. You know, everybody always thinks that there's a simon for money. What's a simon for money?
Amount.
Right? Serial number, right? I'm Amish like Rain Man, you know, like Amish like Lahavdil, really Abdullahs. I heard from a friend. I saw it on the way to Eretz Yisrael. Right? So it's permitted to watch movies on the way to Eretz Yisrael. So what happens? So I go ahead, I remember the serial number. So what's that? You see from here that's what? That's also not a simon. Because what does that tell me? Or what does that tell the finder? All that says is, it was once my dollar bill, or my once $100 bill. It in no way indicates that lemaisa, that's mine. A very important halacha. So bottom line, when you find money in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, really, again, the finder, or the loser, so to speak, has absolutely no way of claiming that money. Now again, all roads lead back to Lifnim Meshura Sadin. If I know Reuven, and I know that he's a trustworthy individual, I know he's an upstanding citizen, and he's coming along and saying, listen, I'm telling you, this is my $100 bill that has my name on it. I lost it. Again, I have the right to believe him if I want to, but I have no halachic obligation to do so. If I want to go above and beyond the letter of law, I can return it to him, but Lamai says it's mine. Incredible.
Why would there be with him sure said in here?
I'm sorry?
Why say it here? Say that it fell off of, that it went to the Esrog
sales. I believe Reuven. I know Reuven.
But he said he didn't spend it.
Lifnim Meshura Din is not a halachic mandate. Lifnim Meshura Din means I'm going beyond the halachic framework. There is no halachic comparative.
You could say Lifnim Meshura Din wherever you want.
No. But again, I have every single right. If you lose money, and telling me something that you are telling me the truth, I have that right to believe you, even though the halacha doesn't, or even though the halacha doesn't require me to. That's my prerogative. Mishnah. Matzah achar hagafa or achar hageder. Both say, if I find it, now hagafa and geder are both types of fences. Rashi says over here is gefa stimas hakosel. So gefa is really the plugged hole of a wall, right, made of wood or of reeds, and geder is stones. So I find something behind a wood wall or a reed wall or behind the stone wall. It doesn't really matter what kind of wall it is. Goes los mikushar. And they both say, I find tied pigeons. So pigeons, somebody tied pigeons together. And I find them behind the wall. Obishvilin shebesados. Or I find them in the pathways, in the fields. Hare ze lo yigabai. And Rabbi says, I shouldn't touch them. Rabbi says, what's the common denominator between these makomos? These are places that are not rishuyos harabim. Right now, again, remember, let's go back to what I said before. They're places that are technically accessible to the public, but they're not publicly traversed areas. Therefore, if I find something that was tied together and seemingly placed there intentionally, what's the halacha? Leave it alone. Leave it alone. That was just go back to what you said before. Because I assume somebody placed it there, they're coming back for it, and therefore my obligation is to walk away. Matzikli ba'ashva. Similarly, if I go ahead and I find the kli in the garbage dump, im mechusa, if it's covered, lo yigabo. So we'll say, if it's covered means, that tells me what? Somebody intentionally placed it there, and therefore, again, I should leave it alone. Im megula, no tol machres. If it's uncovered, I'll say, then what's the halacha? I should take it, and I should announce it. So it says the Gemara, my time of daminan hani inish etzninu. So we'll say, so why is it when I find the tied pigeons behind the wall or in the pathway, in the sados, in the fields, why am I supposed to leave it alone? Because I assume that somebody intentionally placed it there. Somebody hid it there, and therefore again I should leave it alone. The ishakaluhu lesli lamaraya simmanu begavayu. Hilchach leshavekinu ad asimaraya b'shakilu. And I will say, but why don't they say the following? Why don't they take it, recognizing that what? I'm going to wait till somebody claims it. Meaning I want to save. See, I will say, there's like a tension over here. Imagine this scene. I go ahead. I'm walking in the pathways in the field, which is pretty much like a more private, secluded area. The rabbim are not there. I find tied pigeons. One thing I know for sure, which is what? It belongs to someone. So what's my tension? What's the tension? On one hand, there's mitzvah Shabbos Aveda. Right? Let me take it and try to track down the owner. On the other hand, right? Somebody placed it there, and maybe I should just leave it alone. I just leave it and wait for the owner to come back. That's the tension. So the Mishnah therefore says, leave it where it is and allow the owner to come back. Why? Because if I take it to Rav Osai, what have I effectively done? See, the only simon, the Gemara is assuming over here, that the owner of this object has going on for him is what? Is makom. Is place. Is placement, right? Is geography. If I take the items, then what? Then what? Then the truth is, to a certain degree, the simon itself could be lost. To which the Gemara says, "Va'amai lehave kesha simna." I don't. Why is that true? Let the knot itself that's used to tie the pigeons be the simin. No, because the cases where the pigeons are tied by their wings, the choli amahachi mikteri luhu. Because the Bosai again, remember, that's how it's meaning. It's tied in a way that people normally tie pigeons. So therefore, again, the kesha. We saw this. Remember where? Where did we see this before?
Strings of fish.
By the fish. Mamish, look at that. Right, strings of fish, right? Excellent, excellent. Right? I'm sorry?
That's not even his Gemara.
That's not even Yankee's Gemara. That's right. What was Yankee's Gemara?
Triangle meat.
Triangle meat, right. Triangle meat. Hey, it's a 6 year was a good year for you. It was a good year. Did you peak? You peaked.
Did it four times.
Did it four times, right. All 4 years of sixth grade. So that was Ari's. That was Ari's.
What?
So we have until Oshana Rabba to ask Mechila. So again, Yankee saying, remember, so you see already these things that are normally tied, they used industry standard knots. So because of that, again, the kesher itself is not a simon. Says the Marvel, habi makom simon. But I don't understand. Even if you take the pigeons, the makom could still be a simon, right? Because let the owner come along and say, I left the pigeons in the shvil, you know, on the pathway. So we'll say the keys over here is where the pigeons, even though they're tied together, they can still hop around. One second. If the pigeons are hopping, then what, Rabbi Osai? Then why can't I assume that what? These pigeons hopped over here from somewhere else, and therefore, lemaisa what? That I should be able to keep them. So we'll say, listen to this. And this actually is very, Lemais Rabbi Yaakov, just listen to this last piece. Listen to this. So Gemara says, there are two possibilities here. What are the two possibilities? Possibility one is that they came from somewhere else, they hopped from somewhere else, and possibility two is that someone placed them here. I will say, this is a very lamaistic, because we're going to see many cases of mitzia fall into this framework right here, where I find something, and there are two possible narratives. Narrative one is... Person put it. Not try, placed it here. Good, I understand what you meant. Placed it here. So narrative one is somebody placed it here. Narrative two, it hopped over. So we'll say, so now what do I do in this kind of case? And you're going to see so many cases of Metzia fall into this, the Tzvei narrative possibility. Right? We have two. What? It's Latin. So says the Gemara, I don't know what the Yiddish word for narrative is. I guess it's Tzvei Dinin. It really is Tzvei Dinin, right? There are two possibilities as to what's happened over here. So watch this. Ikalamer ma'alma asu, tzaso they hopped in, ve'ikalamer inish atzninu, and it's possible that somebody placed it there. So we'll say, listen to how Givaltik is. So what do I do with this case? It's what we call, remember this term, because we're going to use it a number of times, safe kinuach. Doubtful placement. Was it placed here, or did it come from somewhere else? The nafkamina? Huge nafkamina. If it came in Alma, I could keep it. Right? Because also remember again, we're talking about a case over here where there is no identifying simon in the guf of the item. Because again, remember, the nat's not a simon, and there's no mukum that's a simon because they hop. So the nafkamina is if it's me Alma or inish in sninhu is, can I keep it or not? So what do I do in a case? We'll say this is safikinuach. What do I do in this case? We'll say it's very important. You can underline these lines. If you have your own Gemara, Am Rabbi Abba Bar Zavda, Am Rav, Kol Safek Kinuach Lechatchila Lo Yitol, Ve'im Nata Lo Yachzir. I will say again, Halacha is every Safek Kinuach Lechatchila, you should not take it. So right, when in doubt, when there is a possibility that somebody placed this item, the Halacha is you should leave it alone. You should absolutely leave it alone. But if you took it, the halacha is you are permitted to go ahead and keep it. So I will say an incredible, incredible halacha. So l'chatchila, you should not touch it. You should not touch it. But once you went ahead and you took it, then l'maisa again, you are permitted to go ahead and keep it. Again, I will say, I keep saying, I'm going to stop saying because you're going to understand it now. There's always that lifnei mishuras hadin. Right, so if somebody shows up ultimately saying, I heard you found pigeons, did you find them so and so place? Although technically speaking, I'm not obligated to return it. There is lifnei mishuras hadin to return it. Fine. So matzekli ba'ashra, we'll say just a little bit, we're going to almost buy the Mishnah. Matzekli ba'ashra mechuslo, you go megula no to l'machris. So we'll say if I go ahead and I find the utensil in the garbage dump, if it's covered, I shouldn't touch it, because that's clear that it's intentional placement. But if it's Megula, if it's uncovered, I should take it and announce it. Or Minu. But raise the kasha. Matzakli, Taman Ba'ashwa, no to l'machris. If you find a covered utensil in the garbage dump, you should take it and you should announce it. Shekein derech ashpalipanos. Because garbage dumps are often emptied. So, Basi, what do you see from this braisa? You see from this braisa that when you find something in the garbage dump, even if it's covered, you have to take it and announce it. So, it's a contradiction to the Mishnah. Amrazid lo kasha. Ha bekubi vekasi. Habisakini vehimnik. So we'll say it depends on what you're finding. One case is talking about, we'll say, kubi are literally barrels, kasi are like cups, and sakini are forks, are knives and forks. Sorry, are forks and knives, knives and forks. So we'll say, so what's the chilik between them? Bekubi vekasi loyiga. So we'll say, if you find barrels and cups in the garbage dump, you should leave it alone. And we'll say, what's the logic over there? Because they're large. So because they're large, a person doesn't accidentally throw out a barrel, nor does a person accidentally throw out a cup. So if somebody went ahead, if you find these in the ashpa, especially if you find them in the ashpa, you should leave them. Why? Because the assumption is there was intentional placement. On the other hand, sakini vehimnik, but I will say, if you find forks and knives which are smaller, I will say it happens, right? The mice, it happens where people accidentally throw out forks and knives, no to the machris. So if you find those in the garbage dump, then you have to take them and you have to announce them. Why? Because there is the possibility that a person accidentally discarded them without even realizing. Rapapa amra hava habakui vikasi. Rapapa says, no, both the Mishnah and the Braisa are both dealing with barrels and cups, which are large utensils. Below kasha is no contradiction. Kan ba'ash ba'asuy lipanos. Kan ba'ash ha'shenasuy lipanos. It both say it depends on kind of garbage dump. Remember, some garbage dumps are regularly emptied, and some are not. So the assumption is like this. If somebody placed their utensils in a garbage dump that is not normally emptied, then what? Then we assume that was intentional placement. The person means to keep it there, and you shouldn't touch it. If the garbage dump is regularly emptied, you should take it, and you should announce it. Why? Because if you don't, it's going to be an aveda. If somebody knowingly places their object in a ashpa, in a garbage dump that is regularly emptied, aveda midasi. Rabosai, if you put your stuff in a dumpster, then what? That's an aveda midas. In other words, you are actively relinquishing ownership over that item because, again, both say nobody puts something to hide in the dumpster knowing that the dumpster is emptied on a regular basis. So if you put your stuff, if you put your glasses, you put your barrels in an ashpa ha'asuya lipanos, in a garbage dump that is regularly emptied, that's an aveda midas. Ela ba'asha she'ena asuya, excuse me, ela ba'ashpa she'ena asuya lipanos. Rather, the case must be what? Where he placed it in a garbage dump that is not normally emptied, but now you, the finder, know that the owner is about to empty the dump. So even though he doesn't normally do it, so he's trying to clean stuff up and he's going to go ahead and dump it out. So we'll say in a case like this, and I see the object, even if the object is covered, I still have an obligation to what? To take it and to announce it. Why? Because I can assume like this. The owner of the object put it there, and he covered it, because his intention is to come back for it. But he thought what? That the owner was not going to be emptying out this garbage dump, because this was an ashpa she'ena asuya lipanos. I, the finder, now know the metzias has changed, and now the owner is going to empty out the dump, and therefore I have an obligation to go ahead and take the item, to retrieve it and to announce it and to track down its owner. So, Bishlam of the Rav Papa. So, according to Rav Papa, who made this distinction between Ashpa Asuya Lipanos and Ashpa Shene Asuya Lipanos, Hainu Diktani Shekein Derech Ashpa Lipanos. That's why the Braisa says, because it is the Derech of the garbage dump to be emptied. El Rav Zvid. According to Rav Zvid, who made the distinction between the Braisa and the Mishnah as dealing with different utensils, right? That one is talking about barrels and glasses, one is talking about forks and knives. Why does the Braisa say, because it is the derech of an ashpa to be emptied? Shekein derech ashpa lifnos la kelim kitanim. What it means to say is, because it is the derech of a garbage dump to have forks and knives dumped into it, therefore it was an accident on the part of the owner, and therefore the person who retrieves it ultimately again has to go ahead and take it and announce it. All right, we'll stop over here for today. Again, Daf Yomi's tomorrow morning in Mirat Hashem at 8. What did we say?
8:05
here in the Sukkah. Mirat Hashem Yehuda is going to be giving the Daf. No breakfast. Coffee. There will be coffee in Mirat Hashem. And again, a yashar koach to Said for the beautiful breakfast over the Cholamayit. I'll send out today also the schedule for Rosh Hashanah Rabbah, as well as for the second days of Yom Tiv. And again, a shkach to Said and the neshama of Moshe Mabashi HaKohen, Zichron Levracha, should have an ongoing aliyah and a beautiful Gan Eden. Rabbi Chanan Yibena Kosh Omer, Let's go Shabbat with Zachlo, says Yisrael Lepichach, Her Balahem Torah Umitzo Shnei Emar, Adonai Chafetz Laman Tzidko, Yagdil Torah V'Yadir.